Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 125. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. In last week's episode, I sort of made an off-the-cuff comment on basically producing this show all under Linux and open source software now. And after the show was over and I posted the show, I started thinking a little bit about what that meant to me, because coming from somebody who was a Mac user for a long time, I really always wanted to produce the show in open source software. So I kind of did that a little bit on the Mac, but at the same time, when I got the new System 76 laptop running Linux on it, then I started to make sure that the video portion of this podcast that posts on YouTube also was made under open source software. It basically changed my workflow a little bit, and the video portion doesn't need a whole lot of editing. So it was a real easy change. Now, many times I'm stuck in like a production environment and I just want things to work. So I'm always very nervous about trying new things, switching the workflow over to something new. And so there's often times where I am stuck using proprietary software for certain things that I need. And I always consider it the right tool for the job. Basically, you don't want to take a hammer and hit a screw, or you wouldn't take a screwdriver and try to nail in a nail. It's the same type of thing. I always think right tool for the right job. But after last week's episode, I really started thinking more about the word free when we use the term free and open source software. Now, there's a common misconception out there for a lot of people that that just means price. It's free, you don't have to pay for it. Well, that's actually incorrect. And many people listening to this show who are sort of tech enthusiasts probably already know this by now. But I'm going to start by giving a basic background of what that word free means. And I'm going to sort of switch that into a project that I've been working on this week. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So, what is the word free? What does that mean? Basically, there is a whole philosophy and a whole freedom movement for software. So the free software movement basically campaigns to win for the users over large corporations. And basically what that means is they want to give users the freedom to completely control the software that they're using. Now, when you're using proprietary software, software made by companies like Microsoft, Apple, Google, and many other software companies out there, a lot of times they will close the source code and make it unavailable for anyone to see. This helps them make money. This helps them get cutting edges. And basically, it blocks a user from completely understanding the software that they're using, so much that there could even be malicious code in your software and you would never know it. So free software is a philosophy or a movement to put the users in complete control of the software, so much that those that are a part of this free software movement believe it is a fundamental human right now at this point. So in the forefront of this movement is the GNU Foundation. And if you go to gnu.org, you're going to find a lot of this information. It's been years since I have been to this website or the Free Software Foundation or any of those websites, because I sort of knew a little bit about it. And I've always been an open source advocate, and I tell people about open source software. But there is a difference between free software and open source software. So we're going to talk about free software at this point. So what is free software? Basically, free software means the users have the freedom to run, copy, distribute, study, change, and improve the software. The user has the freedoms to do all of that. It is not a matter of price. So don't think as you're getting something for free. Think of it as free speech, okay? It is a right. So in some countries of the world, free speech, the people of the world have the ability to, or the, this country have the ability to say whatever they want without persecution. When it comes to software, users have four essential freedoms. They have the freedom to run the program as they wish for any purpose. They have the freedom to study the program, how it works, and change it or adapt it for their needs. One precondition for this is having access to the source code. So if you're a student and you want to learn how to program, you want to take a look at programming languages, having access to the source code is if you understand that programming language that the software is written in, you can learn, you can make changes, you can make it better, you can change it for what you need. Going back to proprietary software, what you're only seeing is the executable files, which is basically binary code. You're not going to be able to understand it. Just ones and zeros, basically. So you're not going to be able to see how the program works. So being able to study and adapt software is a fundamental need for anybody who wants to learn about creating software. The third essential freedom is the freedom to redistribute copies so that you can help others. Okay, so you can give as many copies of the software away as you want. Okay, so let's say you have something like GIMP. It's the Photoshop alternative. It's free and open source software. You have the freedom to install it on as many computers as you want. You can make copies. You can put it on a flash drive. You can make a portable app. You can install it on your friends' computers. You can install it on students' computers. Wherever you would like, you have the ability to do that without licenses, without product keys, and you can do it as many times as you want. And the last fundamental freedom is the freedom to improve the program, release your improvements to the public so that the whole community benefits from it. And you also, when you do that, also have to give access to the source code. So this all, again, is a philosophy. And going back to the creation of GNU, It's basically a Unix-like operating system. It started in the mid-80s. And the person in the forefront of this is Richard Stallman. Now, if you've never seen Richard Stallman before, he is a person that truly believes that free software is a fundamental human right. So much to the point that sometimes he can come across in the wrong way to a lot of people because he will be the one that tells you you shouldn't be using things from Microsoft or Google or Apple, and he'll tell you exactly why you shouldn't be doing that. And sometimes he can be a little overbearing. But I did find recently a video of Richard Stallman on the GNU website that it was basically a TEDx talk, and it's about 13 minutes long, and I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes. But in this case, he's talking to an audience, and he's very, very calmly explaining in a sort of introductory way free software and what he calls the liberation of cyberspace. So I have been a Linux user for years, and many times you will see in certain Linux distributions. Okay, there are over 1,000 different Linux distributions that are out there. And you will see sometimes GNU/Linux. Basically, Richard Stallman claims he puts everything together for an operating system except for a kernel to run it. And in 1992 era, Linus Torvalds comes around and he writes the Linux kernel. And they basically found that missing piece, and from that point on, we were able to have a free and open operating system. And it has changed over many, many years. So sometimes you'll see that GNU/Linux online, and that's where it comes from, because either one really wouldn't be what it is today without the other. Now, when it comes to Linux, most Linux distros, I should say all Linux distros, are open source. But some of them are not as keen on the free software aspect of it. So there are a lot of things that if you are a person who really believes in this philosophy about freedom, then there are certain Linux distributions out there that really put the user in perspective of and respecting the user's freedom rights, the privacy rights for the user, and so on. So earlier this week, I was trying out Triskel Linux, which is a known Linux distribution. It's basically based on Ubuntu that is oriented towards businesses, users, and educational centers, but respecting this whole freedom movement. I installed it. Actually, I was kind of quite, I really kind of enjoyed the product. It's very easy to install. And somehow, over the next couple of days, I was trying a few other things, and I ended up taking Triskel off of my computer. I installed something else that I'm going to talk about probably next week, reformatted it again, and tried a couple other Linux distros. And so then all of a sudden, this idea of I've always been a open source enthusiast. Now let's take a look at the freedom aspect of it. Now, when you have this mindset of freedom and being completely free, having access and free computing, having access to those four fundamentals, you have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit. You have to be willing to sort of suffer a little bit because there's so much proprietary software out there that you're going to be kind of blown away that you've never even realized. Now, give you an example. Pretty much everything on a Mac is locked down. You cannot do a lot of extra things that Apple doesn't want you to do. In fact, so much that the latest generation of processors are now being built by Apple, and it's going to give you even less ability to do other things like, build a Hackintosh computer on and that type of thing. So the hardware itself on a computer, from whether it's BIOS or UEFI, has proprietary software in it. And where does that stop? Where do we know where, most of that information we have no access to? So in this case, when I was trying to see how far I could go with this access to free software, I immediately was hit by limitations that I sort of expected, but it wasn't something that was going to stop me from pursuing this goal of being free. Okay, so I ended up on my older System 76 laptop, I ended up installing Pure OS. Now, there are some other free software distributions out there. GNUSense is one of them. We already mentioned Triskel. There are even smaller free Linux distros that are more for embedded device, like Protein OS, LibreCMC. There's a bunch of things. It's all on the GNU.org website. But I ended up going with Parabola is another one that just came to mind. I ended up going with Pure OS. It just caught my eye and for what I was trying to do with it. So Pure OS is a GNU distribution based on Debian. Its focus is on privacy, security, and convenience. So that hit all the right terms to me. Debian is probably one of the most stable Linux distributions out there. You can put it on a system for years and years and not have any issues with it. Very slow moving, very slow changes. And over the time that you have it on your system, you know that's going to last for a long time. So the other thing, privacy, security, convenience. all of those things I was interested in. So when you go to the Pure OS website, pureos.net, you are basically greeted user-friendly, secure, freedom-respecting OS for daily usage. With Pure OS, you are the only one in control of your digital life. That's their marketing campaign. So from the very beginning, when you install Pure OS, it's just like installing any other Linux distribution. Now, the last time that I tried to be completely free and open was many years ago, and things have changed since then. Linux has improved quite a bit, and this movement has progressed quite a bit. And Pure OS, out of the box, basically includes things like DuckDuckGo instead of Google. It's a search browser that respects your search histories, respects everything, doesn't try to sell you anything as you're doing this. When you're using the web browser, Pure browser, it's basically HTTPS everywhere is included. So you know that you can surf the web safely without being tracked by advertisers or marketers, which is really nice. You can encrypt the whole operating system to make it fully secure. And what's great about this type of Linux distro, and most Linux distros really, is that it can be independently verified by security experts and software developers around the world to just show that it's really what it is saying, okay? That there are no, let's say, proprietary blobs that we're going to get into in just a few minutes. There's nothing hidden in the source code. Everything is fully accessible. And when I installed this, it was a GNOME desktop. So right away, I kind of felt at home. And I started thinking to myself, okay, there's got to be some sort of catch here because this went way too smooth. And so I started thinking, oh, are they going to give me access to like the GNOME software? And sure enough, GNOME software was installed. So the problems that I did run into are this. So my System 76 computer is a computer that's built to run Linux. But if you think about the internals of a computer, things like Wi-Fi chips, a lot of times those use proprietary software or drivers that make them run. So when I installed Pure OS, my Wi-Fi card was not working. And I sort of expected that to work. Or I expected it not to work, I should say. So I plugged the Ethernet connection in, and I was able to get network access. And if I really wanted to, I could very easily go on the Free Software Foundation website and find a freedom-respecting USB dongle that would give me wireless. They find the best USB device out there that's respecting users' rights, and they list them on the website. And so a few people in the Discord chat room recommended a few things to me, and I checked them out, but I didn't want to really spend any money in this process. And so what I was doing with this project, I sort of wanted to build a box that wasn't necessarily connected to the internet anyway. I wanted to have a secure OS, and I wanted to have sort of a computer that was sort of security focused and not something that I had to worry about really anything. And so Pure OS kind of appealed to me that because it was built security first. Now, the problem that I found with the free software philosophy is not that it's limiting, but it's that if you are choosing to go completely free in your computing style, there is hardware available that is completely free or headed towards completely free with all the internals built in a way that respects the user. But most of those are very expensive. And I won't name any brands here on the show. There are a few different companies out there that are making free hardware, and more companies, and I believe more companies out there now are also sort of jumping on that trend. The free hardware tends to be very expensive, But it doesn't stop there, because as soon as you connect to a web browser, if you are connecting to other servers out there, then you are dealing with JavaScript that's proprietary. And there are ways around that as well, where you can actually install, I think it's called FreeJS, where you can block any JavaScript happening to completely control your browsing experience. And so it's something that when I start looking at this, I understand the mentality and I appreciate how free software can respect everything you do as a user, and you are not sort of bowing down to companies like Microsoft or Google or Apple or whatever it is, what other companies out there. But you have to understand how much you are, I want to refrain from using the word sacrifice or suffer or anything like that, because that's not really the case. It's a change of lifestyle. And so, for instance, when I'm installing a System 76, PureOS on System 76, I knew right away the Wi-Fi card wasn't gonna work before I even did it. At that point, I needed to make a decision. Do I just put a Wi-Fi dongle in and connect to Wi-Fi? But then if I'm really trying to live the lifestyle of someone in the free software movement, that's not okay, unless it's a free freedom-respecting dongle. So they're probably inexpensive, and it's not that hard to get. But if I wanted to use it right now, that would be, I'd have to make a change for something that wasn't respecting my freedom. And I didn't do that. So the other thing is your computer. Unless you want to go out and buy brand new hardware that's completely freedom respecting, which I'm not quite convinced is even possible at this point. I know there are computers that are close and they sort of have a 5-year plan to do that. But even then, I'm not convinced that, even if there is one available out there that's completely free and open hardware, not quite convinced yet that we're at the point where that's something that could be used as a daily driver, for at least for my use case. And there are different, everybody out there is different. But I will say that since I've been using PureOS over the last few days, the premise of free and the idea and philosophy behind this is appealing. It is something that I'm glad is out there. I'm glad that people are interested in and trying to promote, because I think it is something that is important. I think schools should be talking about freedom and in terms of software. I think schools should be actively talking about open source software instead of paying thousands upon thousands of dollars for software when there are alternatives out there that get you to the same point, if not really close. So when I want to be a part of this freedom movement, free software movement, I can't get to where I want to be if I want to be completely free, but I can get close. And I think that's sort of the middle ground. If you have the idea in your head of trying to get as close as you can, at least you're trying. Now, Richard Stallman probably won't agree with that. He probably would probably say you need to abandon all of the things that you were using before and give it up because it's immoral, it's unethical, and he will go on and say that nobody in the world should be doing this. So I think if you want to start the process, little shifts will grant you more success. So just like if you're somebody out there is using Windows or Mac and you want to try Linux, you can start, before you even install Linux, start by learning the software, because a lot of times the software is cross-platform. So I mentioned earlier GIMP, and you can find free and open source software for Windows. And just start using the software. And then when you switch to Linux, you'll be more comfortable with that software. And then if you're switching back and forth, one day in Linux or another day in Windows or something like that, then you find that moving back and forth is a little easier because you're not using Windows only software. And you start making slight changes, slight shifts, and it could take you a day, it could take you a few weeks, it could take you a few months or even a year, whatever it is, your timeline. Don't be in a rush to make these changes. And over time, you gain your confidence, you gain your ability to understand the software that you're using. And again, you're studying it. You are using your freedom to take control of your computing, and you're not letting anybody else control it. That's the best thing about it. So I really am excited that these freedom-respecting Linux distros have come so far. And I mentioned Triskel earlier. I thought that was a great Linux distro when I tried it. I only worked on it for a few hours before I sort of switched gears a little bit. I think that uses the Mate desktop, which would be great on older computers. But Pure OS, man, it looks like a fully functional Linux distro with GNOME all installed already. And so moving on, you know, there's other things. We talked about binary blobs earlier. Binary blobs are basically a bit of proprietary code that's provided from a corporation. Sometimes it could be in firmware, it can be in hardware, it can be in other things as well. But it's a form of non-free software. And basically, you know, sometimes Linux distros use these binary blobs just to get things working, like your Wi-Fi chip and other things on there. So yeah, it does matter if you're trying to be a freedom respecting Linux distro, whether or not you use those. So the Pure OS and Purism, the company behind it, trying to develop hardware, provide things like kill switches for your Wi-Fi and other things connected on your computer. So for wireless and Bluetooth and your camera and your microphone, how many computers do you know have off switches for those things? I mean, just and they're physical on off. So, you know, many people put the piece of tape over their webcam, but if you had that switch, you could turn it off and know that the hardware is not being used at this point. So it's so interesting to take a look at all this stuff. And I'm going to put a bunch of links in the show notes for anybody who's interested. And if you are interested in using open source software, maybe take a look at the freedom stuff too, because it's really, really interesting stuff. Pure OS would be one that I would take and recommend to people at this point. If you're looking for a box that's super secure and respecting of your rights for free software as well too. So I've always, like I said before, been an open source advocate. I am respectful of the free software movement. I understand, and if there are people out there that want to live completely free, I understand that, and I respect the ability of you to do that. It's a hard thing to do if you want to live that style completely. So I personally can't do that just because of the things that I need to do and the different things that I do in my life. Can't get there yet, but maybe in the future, you know, who knows? Maybe the podcast in the future will be completely on free and open source software. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So, but the other thing, if I wanted to do that, then I'd have to get USB audio devices that were freedom respecting. And the list just goes on and on. So that's why I'm not there yet. But I do love the philosophy behind it. And I'm going to keep sort of an eye on this and really try to see where it goes over the next few weeks and months. So I'll be interested. If I have any worthwhile updates, I will put them in the show. All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time.